what we might assume are at odds with each other, James brings together in the phrase, the law that gives freedom. We might think that law and freedom are at odds with each other. But here James brings them together in this phrase, in James chapter 1 verse 25 and in chapter 2 verse 12, the same phrase, the law that gives freedom, or more literally, the law of freedom. That's even a more strange phrase, the law of freedom. But we're going to explore the meaning of this together this morning. So first of all, the law of freedom, as we'll use that translation of it. It's a phrase that's unique to James, and these are the only two references to this phrase in Scripture. What is it referring to? Some folk think it's referring to Scripture as a whole. That's the law of liberty, the law of freedom. Some think it refers to the gospel message. The gospel message is the law of freedom. But chapter 2, verses 8 to 12, I think, set it firmly in the context of God's commands. So James 2, verse 8, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing right. You remember we saw that as a summary of the what we call the second table of the law, our duties to one another. You're to love your neighbour as yourself. But if you show favouritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as law breakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. What are those commands? It's the Ten Commandments that James is referring to. That's the law that he has in mind. And then he goes on to say, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law of freedom. That's the law that he's just referred to. I believe it is the Ten Commandments that James has in mind. And that's borne out by the phrase that introduces the Ten Commandments. Do you remember how the Ten Commandments begin? The Lord spoke all these words. This is Exodus 20, verse 1 and 2. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. That's the introduction to the Ten Commandments. And then we have the Ten Commandments. So therefore, the Ten Commandments are the law of liberty. It's the law that God gives to his liberated people. I have brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Now here's your law of liberty. The Ten Commandments are God's law for those he has freed. It's the law of their liberty. It's how freed people should live. That's why God gave them these laws. The Living Bible has a helpful paraphrase of this phrase. God's law for free men. That's what this law of liberty is, this law that gives liberty. It's the God's law for free men. So Norman Shields, in his little book on the Ten Commandments, says, at Sinai, the bondage of Egypt was over. God had brought them through the Red Sea and into freedom. And now he gives them this law of liberty, of freedom. Well, we're not Israelites this morning. We who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ are Christian believers. And we've been set free. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Paul writes, for those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they've been set free from the law of sin and death. But that doesn't mean that they're then free from God's law. No, God's purpose in freeing them from sin and death is that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in them as they live according to the Spirit given through Jesus Christ. And so for us, God's law is the law of liberty. It's the guide about God's righteous requirements that have got to be fully met in us. Jim Packer puts it helpfully in this way. Law keeping is that life for which we were fitted by nature, unfitted by sin, and refitted by grace. The life God loves to see and reward. And for that life, liberty is the proper name. Living in obedience to God's law is liberty. It's not bondage, it's liberty. Alec Mottier has a helpful illustration in his little booklet on James. A member of my congregation told me of a Japanese Christian who had been a thief before he was converted. After his conversion, on the first Sunday, he ventured into a Christian church for worship, and as he stepped inside the door, he saw on the wall of the church the Ten Commandments. Out of the commandments, there leapt upon this thief the commandment, "Thou shalt not steal." It leapt out from the wall at him, but in a marvelously new way. It no longer said to him, "Thou shalt not steal." It said to him, "Thou shalt not steal." What had formerly been a condemning precept was now a life-giving promise. You shall not steal. So in Christ, the precepts of the law have become promises to the believer, bringing the liberty of obedience. The liberty of obedience. And that's helpful. We have the laws of the road, don't we? The laws of the road, they're very important. I've travelled a lot this last week, here and there. The laws of the road give freedom to travel. I can travel anywhere. Cars hurtling along at 70 miles an hour within feet of each other. But by following the law of the road, we've got freedom to travel in safety. We've got freedom to travel anywhere, as long as everyone else is following the law of the world. But see, the law of the road gives us freedom. Well, God's law is a law of liberty. And following God's law is freedom to live as we should live, to live as God designed us to live in safety. The law of freedom. That's what it is. I think it's God's law given to his freed people. Now God's law for us as freed in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. But then we can think, first of all, what we must do with it. And that's the first reference in James chapter 1 and verse 25. This tells us what we must do with it. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So we must give it careful attention. That's the first thing. We must look intently into it. The man who looks intently into the perfect law of liberty, the perfect law of freedom. We've got to give careful attention to it. Of course, we've been doing that over these past weeks. We've been looking at, in detail at the Ten Commandments. Well, don't stop now and think, well, we've done that. I can put that down and go on to the next thing. No, you've got to keep on looking intently into it, digging into what God's requirements, his righteous requirements are for us that we must fully meet. There's got to be continuing in it. The man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, or continues in it, remains in it, doesn't leave it, but remains in it, following it. So there's got to be careful attention to it, continuing in it, and carrying it out. The man who looks intently into the perfect law continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. He will be blessed in what he does. We've got to put it into practice, as we were thinking with Jesus' parable of the builders. It's not enough to hear it. We've got to put it into practice. And that's what James is teaching in the context here. Do not merely listen to the word. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Well, that's a pointless exercise. Why would you bother doing it? The point of God's word is that we look intently into it to see ourselves as God sees us, to see ourselves as God's light shines on us. The light of his law shines into our hearts. We've got to allow that to happen, to expose ourselves to God's light and God's law. We've got to beware of forgetting it, not forgetting what he has heard. Again, here we are. We're at the end of a series looking through the Ten Commandments. Can you remember what we've said, what we've looked at? You need to remember what God requires of it. And James tells us this is the root of blessedness. The man who looks intently into the perfect law of liberty, continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. This is the way to happiness. Looking intently into God's law, perfect law. Continuing in it, carrying it out. That's what we must do with it. It must shape our lives. It must shape how we live, how we behave, how we interact with each other. That's what we must do with it. But then also we can think about what it will do with us. And this is the second reference in James chapter 2 and verse 12. Where James says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law of freedom. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law of freedom. What will it do with us? It will be the standard against which we are judged. Again, this reminds us that this is God's moral law. A reflection of God's own character. That is the standard against which we will be judged. It's not what society thinks. That won't be the standard that we are judged by. It's not what our peers think and what's popular with them. It's not what is trending on social media. It's what God says. It's God's law that will be the standard against which we are judged. And James makes very clear in the context here in verses 10 and 11, that whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. See, the Ten Commandments, it's not like 10 glasses in a row, and if you drop one and break one, you've still got 9 intact. God's commandments are like a pane of glass. Break one, you've broken all of it. That's what James is saying here. It's not like 10 separate glasses. No, it's like a pane of glass. And to break one commandment is to break all of God's commands. And so James says we're going to be judged by that law. That's the standard against which we will be judged before God's throne. Paul says the same thing in 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 9 and 10. He's speaking about the prospect of departing from earthly life and the heavenly life that will be ours. He says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 9, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. There is a judgment that we will face, and the criteria that we will be judged by is God's law of liberty, God's law of freedom. And we're to speak and act in the light of that. That's what James is saying in verse 12. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law of freedom. And James is very clear in this book that words matter. He's already said that, hasn't he? In chapter 1 and verse 26. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Speak as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. And act. Again, James is very clear here. In the context, he's speaking about discrimination that's being shown between the rich and the poor. Discrimination is breaking God's law. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. You're not to show favouritism to some and discrimination against others. You've got to love all. That's what, in the context, is here. So we've got to act towards one another in our dealings with each other in a way that shows no discrimination, no favouritism to one against another. We've got to show a universal love across our relationships. Again, we must remember that when we face that judgment, it's in the context of what we read in Romans 8 and verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If we are Christian believers, the judgment that we will face will not result in our being rejected. It will result in our being rewarded. As Christian believers, we will face judgment. We won't be rejected because we are in Christ and our sins are pardoned and forgiven. But we will be rewarded. Again, Alec Mottier is helpful. He's commenting on the end of verse 13, mercy triumphs over judgment. When we stand in that great day, we have one eternal security. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Mercy has embraced us, and mercy will not let us go. Beloved, we stand here before a mysterious thing which Scripture never fully explains, the judgment seat of Christ. We shall stand there. We shall be judged there. Our eternal security will not in the least way be shaken by what happens there. But we shall be judged before Christ, and he will search us whether we have been like him. He will search us whether we have cared mercifully for the needy. We shall be delighted with him in that day. The question is whether he will be delighted with us. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law of freedom. And so James has this phrase in the law of freedom. We believe he's referring to God's law given to his freed people. I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the bondage that was there. This is how you're to live as freed men. We're to look intently into that law. We're to continue in it. We're to carry it out if we're going to know the blessed life. And then we've got to speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the standard of that law before Christ on that great day. So are you amongst those that have been refitted by grace for law keeping? Let me remind you that quote from Jim Packer. Law keeping is that life for which we were fitted by nature. We are creatures of God. He has authority over us. Unfitted by sin and refitted by grace. The life God loves to see and reward. And for that life, liberty is the proper name. Let's turn to God in prayer. Our God, we thank you that through the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice at the cross, we have been made free. Wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions. Now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. And yet, Lord, we thank you that you have given us a law of liberty. Lord, that will be liberation as we live it, living as we were designed to live. Lord, free to obey you. Lord, a life of blessedness. Lord, may that be the lives that we live by your grace, filled with the Spirit of Christ for your glory. Lord, hear us, we pray, for Jesus, our Saviour's sake. Amen. Our final hymn takes up the thought of deliverance in Christ. Make me a captive, Lord, and I will be free. George Matheson's